The following program is produced and furnished in conjunction with Roger Waldron of the Coalition for Government Procurement, which is entirely responsible for its content.
Welcome to Off the Shelf with Roger Waldron of the Coalition for Government Procurement. Off the Shelf gives a voice to commercial service and product companies selling in the federal market. Roger speaks to members and government officials about procurement policy trends, innovations, and debates. Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Now your host, Roger Waldron.
Today my guests on Off the Shelf are Sally Long. She's the director of the Open Group Trusted Technology Forum. Edna Conway, she is Chief Security Officer, Global Value Chain for Cisco Systems. And Andras Sahkal, who is a Vice President and Chief Technology Officer for IBM U.S. Federal. And he is also the Chair of the OTTF. What is that,
Andras? OTTPS, Open Trusted Technology Provider Standard, or the OTTF.
It's the Chair of the Open Group Trusted Technology Forum. So that is the OTTF.
Right.
It's a good thing we have acronyms, right? I'm telling you. Having worked in the government for 20 years, actually my daughter's working this summer for the coalition as an intern, and she's learning a whole new language with all these acronyms out there. So I'm going to make sure she listens to this show as well. Well, this is a very timely show. There is a lot going on with regard to cybersecurity, to supply chain risk management across both the government and in the private sector. And I'm looking forward to this conversation today to talk a little bit about where things are going, how the private sector is reacting, what we're seeing in the government space, and how government industry can work together. And in particular, one of the ways that they're doing that is through the Open Group Trusted Technology Forum. I don't have that I can't even say that acronym, right? So I'll just call it the forum, I guess, as we go through this conversation. But before we get started, I wanted to give each of you a little an opportunity to talk a little bit about maybe your background and then also, you know, what you do for your respective organizations. And I think I'll start with Sally. Can you talk a little bit about your role as the director for the Open Group Trusted Technology Forum?
Sure. Thank you, Roger. I am the director of the Open Group Trusted Technology Forum. I've been with the Open Group for about 23 years, developing various standards and certification programs in different forums for the IT industry. I've been working with the Trusted Technology Forum for the past 6 years in developing standards and accreditation program for product integrity and supply chain security.
Okay, great. And then I'm going to, because we want to get onto the subject matter and the meat of the discussion. But Edna, can you talk a little bit about your role at Cisco?
Sure. I serve as the Chief Security Officer for our global value chain, which is a way of thinking, if you will, about the entire third-party ecosystem across the spectrum of a solutions lifecycle in the information and communications technology arena.
Okay. And Andras, can you give us a little insight into what you do at IBM?
Absolutely. I'm the Vice President and CTO for the IBM federal sector. I report up to the CTO, and I am the chair right now of the forum, as we're calling it, and I also represent IBM on the board of directors for the Open Group.
Great trio here to talk about this issue and to get into it. Like Edna, let's start with you. And can you talk a little bit about some of the challenges of product integrity and supply chain security that you all are looking at and out there in the marketplace right now?
Sure. I think, quite frankly, what we've been doing is looking at this from the perspective of security as, if you will, the top-level umbrella, Roger. And we think about security as embracing a host of things, right? So we worry about counterfeit, we worry about taint, we worry about intellectual property protection, but we're also thinking about information security as well. And when you start to think about across a big continuum, which we call the value chain, you need to have a concept of how to drive basic guidelines and security principles at each stage of that continuum that we call the value chain, which for us starts really when you start thinking about the design and the development of your first piece of innovation and moving on to how you're going to plan and order it, how you're going to source its raw elements, make it the quality inherent in it, and how you're going to test for that, and then really thinking about how you're going to deliver that, how you're going to sustain it post-delivery and utilization by the end user, and finally, how you're going to handle end-of-life management. And in today's day and age, not only is it, it absolutely essential to think about it across that perspective, but we need to sort of shake the box because people traditionally say the word supply chain, and that is a great set of learning that we have had, but particularly in the tangible arena. So think about boxes, right? So routers, switches,
yep.
servers.
Mm-hmm.
But the value chain is really a broader perspective, and it embraces the full spectrum of all solutions, whether software, hardware, or services or cloud-based capabilities. And I think the Open Trusted Technology Forum was really one that began when I first had the privilege of joining it just about 6 years ago, that was taking on this holistic concept. And we thought that that was an essential element and aligned with our trust and transparency mission across the continuum of the value chain.
Okay. When you say holistic, when I'm listening to this description, I'm thinking about you talked about the design phase, the manufacture phase, but we're talking about the folks who make the pieces and parts and components that go into the router. Is that?
Yeah. It's an excellent question. And in a way, it's the beauty of, quite frankly, the standard that the industry members and end customers, including government users, have put together in the OTTPS. And what we did was actually try and write something that says, not only are we thinking end-to-end about the stages, but the stages are different for each of us. So it could be exactly what you articulated, worrying about an ASIC that goes onto a printed circuit board that goes into a router. But it could also be a third-party software element, whether it's a module of code that you utilize in software, and that software may be delivered directly via an electronic methodology, or it could be software that's embodied in firmware in a hardware fashion. It could also be cloud-based services. So we embraced all of those aspects, and we also thought about folks like, let's say, a systems integrator. So while that ASIC provider may be a supplier to a company like IBM or Cisco, to a company like many of the systems integrators who do work with the U.S. federal government, Cisco and IBM are actually suppliers, and it's our entire solution set that is being combined into an integrated solution for the end government customer.
Andros, you had something that you wanted to add?
Well, traditionally, we thought of supply chain security and integrity as starting, you know, from the point of how you package up a product and made sure that it was received effectively, that it wasn't intercepted somewhere along the line, that during the transport, the integrity of the package actually was maintained, that we, you know, certainly managed our suppliers. But I think the unique element of where we've come over the last 10 years is that we realize that there is an end-to-end life cycle, what Aetna was saying, the value chain here around how we actually implement and construct and develop our technology and the protections that we have to have in place in order to ensure the integrity of the product, and how that also is connected to cybersecurity, as well as dovetails into that supply chain security element.
Right, and it's interesting, you know, when you described this, you described like the intellectual property aspect of it, the cybersecurity, the sort of gray market counterfeit. They're all pieces of this puzzle, right, that goes into supply chain risk management. If you had to prioritize what's the biggest risk or challenges that you're seeing in the marketplace right now, can you do that, or is it just an amorphous thing that new challenges and new risks pop up all the time?
So we started this effort a little over 6 years ago out of the Comprehensive National Cybersecurity Initiative, what was called the ASC at that time, and we sat around a large table, basically talked about, you know, the challenges and the ways in which we mitigate this environment, how we construct our products, and how across the landscape of providers we were similar. So we constructed a set of best practices, and that's what became the standard, right? So It's in that way that we're able to understand how to best mitigate the two primary risks that were identified, and that was mitigating against maliciously tainted products and counterfeit, which were the two types of threats that the government was experiencing.
Sure.
In the creation of weapon platforms or just IT systems. And so let's articulate a little bit about what we mean by that. Let's say that a vendor doesn't
Andras,
have...
right, you know what? Hold that thought. We'll come right back to that.
Okay.
Got it. We're already... Look, 10 minutes goes. Yeah. Know, that first segment went very fast. My guests today are Sally Long. She's the director of the Open Group Trusted Technology Forum. Edna Conway. She is chief security officer, global value chain for Cisco Systems, and Andras Sakal. He is vice president, CTO, IBM U.S. Federal. And when we come back, I'll let Andras pick up on his thoughts right there. You are listening to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Welcome back to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today, my guests are Sally Long. She's the director of the Open Group Trusted Technology Forum. Edna Conway, she is the Chief Security Officer, Global Value Chain at Cisco Systems. And Andras Sakal, he is Vice President, Chief Technology Officer, IBM U.S. Federal. And guys, Andras, I had to cut you off.
That's okay.
When we took the break, I'm going to let you pick up on your thought. Please.
All right. So we came out of the work that we did in CNCI. We decided to create a standard based on mitigating two risks. The risk of maliciously tainted components and ensuring against counterfeit. Those were the two primary challenges that we were actually seeing true evidence in the wild and it being experienced by the government. So, for example, we've seen the rise of open source. Open source, comes from, many different places.
yes, it does.
And
yeah.
Sometimes it's control, sometimes maybe not as well. And we have to make sure that the open source that we are using in our products are actually the authoritative implementation and don't contain any vulnerabilities or don't contain any goodies added by somebody else, which we have seen some of that on the component side. And then on the counterfeit side, we were seeing very entrepreneurial individuals take electronic parts and break them down and resell them as authentic. Or in the case of some situations, some companies actually passing off products as as another company's component or product. And the reason why this is important is that those products may not have the quality of services that we're expecting, especially when it's a product like a platform that has implications to the safety critical nature of that particular end product. So those are the two primary challenges the government was facing, and that's what they asked us to focus on.
Okay. In focusing on that through the Open Group Trusted Technology Forum, so I want to give Sally to talk a little bit about and provide the listeners with background, a little bit more background. We've got in right into the meat of some of the substance of what the organization is trying to accomplish, but can you talk a little bit about how it came to be and why it was founded? It sounds
sure.
Have you been there
20?
So it was, go ahead.
I've been with the Open Group 23 years, but I've been working on this forum for about 6 years. And
okay.
As Andras alluded to, it did start with some roundtables with the Open Group and government and major industry vendors to talk about the problem of how do you trust ICT, because at that time governments, and the trend continues, at that time governments were moving away from government-created and industry-provided customized solutions and moving more towards employing COTS ICT, primarily because industry was coming up with solutions that were better, faster, cheaper, and for the most part, more secure. So with that migration towards COTS ICT, governments became very concerned about what was inside those products and how could they determine whether to trust them, not only the products for not having tainted or counterfeit parts in them, but also was there a way of just trusting the providers? So they suggested, why don't the mature vendors of industry get together, pool their good practices around cybersecurity and supply chain security, come up with a best practice standard, put it out there for everybody to take advantage of? And also, wouldn't it be great if there was a conformance program around it so that they could really identify those trusted technology providers who were conformant with it? And they actually felt that the Open Group was a really important organization to take that to because of its global nature and its kind of safe harbor approach. We offer a vendor and country neutral environment where customers and providers come together to create standards and certification programs. And we've been in existence for over 25 years with 500 member companies in 40 countries. And so really they came to us because of the global flavor and because of the consensus-based decisions that we made. And the result of that, of those 6 years, really was creating a standard, which, as Andras pointed out, is particularly focused on tainted and counterfeit parts for ICT. We created the standard in 2013, that was version 1, and then in 2014 we launched our accreditation program for those ICT providers who conform to the best practices in the standard. And then last year it was approved by ISO IEC as ISO IEC 20243, which is something I should say that the forum is very proud of, not only because it was a great amount of work getting it to that point, but also because being recognized internationally, particularly when you're dealing with security and global supply chains, is essential.
Let me jump in for a minute because you hit on something that I think we need to bring out to Roger if we could. There is something remarkably unique about this particular standard. And its uniqueness, it was touched on by Sally, but let's highlight it a little bit. There are other standards that look at a product and the security enforcing capabilities or features of a product. In fact, you know, UL just released something on cybersecurity. It's still looking at a particular IoT device or product. What this standard does is actually go to the heart of, are there a set of comprehensive approaches, whether they're technology, physical, or actually operational security best practices that are deployed consistently and holistically by an information communications vendor who is commercial, that allow us to identify them as a trusted provider. So not product SKU number 1 or software named X version 4, but rather the provider holistically across the end-to-end spectrum that it utilizes to bring solutions to the community overall. And that is truly a distinctive factor about the Open Trusted Technology Partner Standard that's worthy of note.
Yeah, absolutely. And another point to make here is that these best practices that resulted in ultimately the requirements and the accreditation program came from the most mature and probably best representative corporations in the world who had been doing this for quite some period of time. So, you know, as the rise of COTS, you know, has permutated the government contracting environment, we need to make sure that we don't lose that bar of integrity. And that was one of the reasons why the government actually had approached us to codify the best practices.
Okay. And so the standard codifies the best practices?
Yeah, it's broken down into three pieces. Yeah. The best practices in the industry for mitigating risk in these particular two areas, tainted and counterfeit, and then focuses on the three different segments of life cycle. One, the nominal product life cycle, secure engineering, and supply chain integrity and security.
Okay, how do customers use the standard? Do they look to say, I'm putting on my procurement lawyer's hat for a second for you guys. And just the idea, do people say, hey, accreditations or certifications,
well,
or do you meet the standard?
Accreditation is important at the end of the day, but it's really twofold. One is that we fully expect providers to pick it up and use it and implement the life cycle, the product life cycle requirements around configuration management, control of products, secure engineering, vulnerability analysis, and the management of components across the life cycle, right? So we're talking about folks that are maybe starting new companies, mid-range companies that are trying to break into this market space. And, you know, by taking the standard and implementing it in their organization, they're going to become better at mitigating these risks, right? And then, of course, you have the consumer. The consumer is going to look at, you know, well, who is accredited potentially? Who can show me that they're implementing these practices? And therefore, it's a way in which we can select the best supplier in, you know, align with the level of risk the government wants to take. So if you have a DoD system, then you're going to have, you know, higher assurance than if maybe you have a Parks and Recreation application, right?
Sure, sure, absolutely.
So could I jump in here a little bit?
Absolutely.
I would like to hop on what Andrar said about the advantage when you go through the accreditation program is that the applicant, the successful applicant, appears on a public registry with a certificate and the use of the logo. And the accreditation program is really operated by the Open Group from a management perspective, and we manage the trademark that you get and police how you use it. So an applicant that conforms to the accreditation, to the standard, can apply for accreditation, and that is not just your OEMs, but also your ODMs, your component suppliers who are producing the software and the hardware components, your distributors and your value-add resellers, so that you can have every constituent that's involved in the IT supply chain accredited. And what that does is it creates this holistic environment where not only do customers benefit because they can look at the public registry and say, oh, I see IBM has been accredited for their AIM software division, so I'm going to partner with them, but it allows IBM and Cisco to go to the registry and say, well, let me look for my component suppliers on that registry and see if they're trustworthy, or and we translate that in our program to having met the best practices. And same thing with distributors and resellers. NASA could go and look at the registry to see if their distributors, their channel partners were accredited. So a really nice holistic approach with this accreditation program.
Right.
And
we,
and there's another benefit. Well,
folks, we have to take our break right now. So
oh,
we're
sure.
up on the break. So when we come back, we can continue the discussion about the accreditation program and how it works and walk through that process a little bit. My guests today are Sally Long. She's a director of the Open Group Trusted Technology Forum. Edna Conway, she is Chief Security Officer, Global Value Chain, Cisco Systems. And Andrash Sahkal, he is Vice President, Chief Technology Officer for IBM U.S. Federal. And you are listening to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Welcome back to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today, my guests are Sally Long. She is the director of the Open Group Trusted Technology Forum. Edna Conway, she is the Chief Security Officer for Global Value Chain at Cisco Systems. And Andrash Sahkal, Vice President, Chief Technology Officer, IBM U.S. Federal. And guys, we continue our conversation about supply chain risk management and the standard. And Sally, I wanted to go back. We were talking about the standard itself and the accreditation process, and I wanted to give you an opportunity to talk a little bit more about that. So have at it.
Okay. Thank you, Roger. So the accreditation program. First off, I'd like to throw out a link for you all, because if you go there, you can get more information and even see the standard. So opengroup.org/accreditation/O-TTPS. And then let me just talk about it, how you get accredited. So the applicant applies. When they apply, they warrant, sign an agreement with the Open Group as the accreditation authority, warrant that they're conformant to the standard throughout their declared scope of accreditation. And I should say we are going to change our name from accreditation to certification, so I might go back and forth on that, but the concept
That's
is
okay.
the same.
Per ISO.
Okay. So the scope is up to the applicant. They could claim that they follow the best practices throughout the development or the full product life cycle of one particular product, a product line, or that they follow the best practices through their entire organization. That warranty says that they're conformant and will remain conformant for the period of accreditation, which is 3 years. And if it turns out that they are not during that 3-year period conformant, then their certificate gets revoked and their name gets plucked off the public registry. And so not only do we have the warranty with the applicant, but we also have a third-party assessor program where they assess the organization's evidence that they provide for a set of selected representative products in their scope. And we utilize existing recognized assessors or accredited assessors who are already conformant to 1702021 or 25, and you know, maybe they're CMMI appraisers, common criteria evaluators, etc. So we utilize that base of assessors out there, and currently we have three recognized assessor companies who also had to pass an OTTPS assessor exam, and that's ATSEC Security, Booz Allen Hamilton, and EWA Canada. And I would mention that IBM, for their AIM software division, has been accredited, and we have an additional probably three or four in the pipeline, which I am not at liberty to talk about. But the other important part, I think, is that the assessment procedures are public. So the accreditation program will accredit anyone who conforms to the OTTPS and the ISO 20243, which are technically the same.
Okay.
Edna, you were going to add something?
Yeah, I think it's also, you know, that's, you gave a great summary of it. But the other thing that we've done is, you know, the degree of transparency and accountability that we wanted to hold ourselves and the industry to is reflected not only in the accreditation program, but also in the fact that the standard itself is not prescriptive, but rather sets forth a set of goals that best practices will allow you to achieve. The how is something that allows providers to actually flex their muscle on their own individual technological innovation. And so it's attractive because, as you know better than anybody else, given your expertise in this arena, Roger, you know, so many vendors are troubled to some degree by the inevitable sort of distinction between contributing and selling to the U.S. government and giving up some intellectual property. This standard allows you to do both. So you can be transparent and accountable, but differentiate yourself as well among your industry peers by the how in which you do it. So I think that's absolutely essential, because to stay ahead of the curve in the changing security landscape that, as you know, is in fact, ever-changing, we must ensure that the providers stay current and invest in R&D and innovation on a continuous basis.
So that sounds to me like what you just described is a much more, and because you hear the buzzword in the government these days is innovation, they want access to innovation. It sounds, and this is where I'm going with this. Andres is looking at me like, what are you talking about? This is where I'm going to see if this spin works right or not. And you can tell me I'm crazy or not. But the idea that it is the buzzword, you'd hear the Secretary of Defense talking about access to innovation. You hear, you know, opening up offices in Silicon Valley, DOD, that sort of thing. Sounds like this standard and accreditation process recognizes that in a certain sense, because it allows the companies to become accredited, and
right.
But preserving their intellectual property in the sense of the way they go about their business to develop new product.
It's practical. Right? It preserves the
that wasn't
approach.
Crazy, was it?
No, not at all. Okay. It's practical and outcome-based, which is Edna and Sally have heard me say that repeatedly as we actually went through the process of developing the standard, which is based on, you know, the industry best practices in three different categories: life cycle, secure engineering, and supply chain integrity and security. And then, you know, what we did was we tied the best practices to a set of requirements, and then how do you observe somebody actually implementing those requirements? And that's the essence of the accreditation or certification program. We're kind of in the middle of changing because ISO likes the term certification. So when we became an international standard, which is really important, by the way, becoming an international standard, it does tremendous amounts of value, at least for our constituency, our members, IBM, by reducing the number of geographical, cultural, or government policies and standards down to essentially one, so that we don't have a situation where we're having to answer the mail on 50 of these. It's one.
Right. Well, yeah. I mean, when you describe that, I think of one of the issues that, you know, I talk about all the time, contract duplication. You got standard duplication, right, where there might be slight differences in different countries or different localities even. And that increases your cost as a business because you have to spend money to meet whatever that particular standard is. And does it actually provide additional security or value or whatever that organization is looking for? And there are other ways to leverage that. You know, just let me, you know, as a layperson in this area, just it sounds to me, and you have to, like, this is was a heck of a, is a heck of a lot of work.
Yeah, we were very excited that it actually became an international standard because there were times when we were trying to figure out how to actually get all our constituents on the same page, you know, and just have the implement the baseline standard. Or even the original white paper from which the standard flowed, if you remember those days, guys.
Yes. Yep. There was a huge amount of work, and I think the other thing that was unique about it, so, you know, and I had the privilege of serving as Andras's vice chair for 5 years, and what we did was we sat at the table together, and quite frankly, that is not insignificant in the success of flexibility and outcome. And when I say together, it wasn't just, think about sometimes an ISO standard where you may have countries speaking, but you may not have the voice of small participants. You may not have the voice of certain subject areas, for example, the semiconductor industry, which is in and of itself an absolute critical component to any information and communication technology, but have their own, quite frankly, laws of physics that apply to what they're doing. So because we had the benefit of that expertise sitting at the table, I think not only was a huge amount of work, but it took a good amount of time to come up with something that, when looked at, seems like it's a relatively small set of guidelines, but when looked at deeper, you actually see that what we did was embrace something that could be deployed holistically and actually extrapolated upon and actually used more deeply. So just doing, for example, the secure development work and secure development lifecycle is, quite frankly, a deep and intricate element of it unto itself.
Yeah. Right. And in fact, I'm... You know, for us within IBM, I'm one of the authors of the IBM Security Framework, which was our secure engineering framework. And I was really pleased that I went through this process over 6 years and didn't undo all the work that I did 5 years before that.
But that was a good thing, yes. Yeah. When I come back, I'm going to ask the folks how they see the government sort of relying on this or utilizing the standard moving forward, what future opportunities are, and maybe a little bit more, Andras, from you about how what it means for your company in particular. My guests today are Sally Long. She's the director of the Open Group Trusted Technology Forum. Edna Conway, Chief Security Officer, Global Value Chain, Cisco Systems. And Andras Sokol, he is Vice President, Chief Technology Officer, IBM U.S. Federal. And you are listening to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Welcome back to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Today, my guests are Sally Long. She's the director of the Open Group Trusted Technology Forum. Edna Conway, she is a Chief Security Officer, Global Value Chain at Cisco Systems. And Andras Sokol, he is Vice President, Chief Technology Officer, IBM U.S. Federal. And I wanted to touch a little bit, guys, this segment, at least to start with, about, you know, the government industry partnership in this area, you know, that you see through that you've experienced and the Open Forum has experienced through its efforts on the standard and then ultimately the utilization or reliance that the market, including the government customer, can or will or may take from the standard. So I'll just open it up and whoever gets there first can start. I know.
Well, look, one of the unique things about developing standards here is that this was not only a standards development body, which I was very familiar with from, you know, working on and being the chair of other standards, but this was a partnership, a public-private partnership with the government, not really an area that you see the government in too often, right? So they they like to dictate a few, you know,
places, they sure do.
So, you know, what they were trying to do here is actually, you know, kind of be part of the solution and articulate the problems that they were seeing. And they have stuck with it ever since the beginning. And they are, we continue to grow our government membership. And I think Sally probably has a lot of thoughts here on this particular subject.
Sally?
Well, yeah, I think, as Andras said, from the beginning, the Department of Defense sort of initiated this whole discussion about what is a trustworthy CATS ICT provider before we even brought it under the Open Group. And the DOD, ATNL, and CIO continue to be members of the organization. So when Edna talks about being at the table, not just with, and we have CISOs from commercial companies, not just with the CISOs from Cisco and Oracle and Huawei, but we also have the government in there talking about what are the requirements for cybersecurity and global supply chains, and how can we provide a standard that's practical, open, and sustainable. And so that was kind of our whole approach. The government wanted to make something that would level the playing field, but also raise the bar for all constituents. And that was kind of their mantra as we went through. And we believe that we did end up creating a standard that is practical. I mean, the organizations that we had at the table, I'll just name a few, Cisco, Dell, EMC, EWA Canada, ATSEC, Hewlett-Packard, IBM, Microsoft, Oracle, and the Department of Defense, ATNL,
NASA.
CIO. So, I mean, really, these discussions...
Not forget NASA.
Right.
Yeah. Really, these discussions were about how can we create something that could be adopted by all organizations to raise that supply chain boat.
And having, one of the most visible procurement officials in the government space be there for us, not only from the point of view of being a procurement official in Joanne Witek, but also to help guiding us through some of the implications of our thinking, I think really was important. And now she's beginning to try to figure out ways, along with other folks like Don Davidson and in the DOD, to how to actually utilize the standard and avoid a situation where we might, have some lawmakers try to actually put this in policy. Instead, NIST has used the OTTPS and ISO 4423 in NIST SP800-161. So a lot of alphabet soup there if you're not familiar with it, but what it means is that the partnership here has made its way into the requirements and the policy around acquisition, and that public-private partnership is really working.
Right, and it's always better, from my perspective, and worked in government 20 years and in this market for longer, aging myself, that things don't be put in law, because it's much harder to change, and you provide the flexibility for people to manage the issue at the working level and operational and the policy level. So
they got to implement a law taker instead of just a lawmaker role.
Can you guys talk a little bit about, I know you mentioned Joanne, and you mentioned, you started to mention NASA SOUP. They're one of the biggest support. I mean, NASA SOUP is recognized, at least in the community, as one of the leaders in this area and have been involved. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah. Joanne, through NASA SOUP, has been involved with the OTTPS and the forum since the beginning. And her opinion, or NASA SOUP's opinion, really, is that they want to utilize standards like the OTTPS or ISO 20243 to provide their government customers with information that will lower their risk in terms of supply chain issues, such as counterfeit and taint. And so as the standard becomes adopted and companies get accredited, SOUP will be able to flag to customers which companies are certified and which are not. And so using this to reduce the risk of cybersecurity and supply chain problems and create more of a best value decision-making paradigm. And so they've actually put it into their SOUP 5 contract in terms of being involved with the OTTPS, and they expect to get more involved as we even the market adoption increases and we evolve our certification or accreditation program.
Yeah, and we should make sure everybody knows, freely available from the Open Group under the OTTPS. You're going to have to pay for a copy if you get it from ISO. under 20243, but it has been recognized internationally, and that's the really important part.
And I think there's something creative that NASA did, which is, quite frankly, they pointed to it as an example of something that folks can be doing and ask if those vendors are implementing. So they didn't mandate it, which I think goes to a very important point, because as we watch what's going on internationally, right, I mean, we all just need to look at the UK. So there is a sense with Brexit. There is a sense as well with cyber. Sometimes cyber I liken to, if you've ever watched five-year-olds play soccer, where everybody follows the ball instead of playing the field and spreading out. Right now, cyber is the new black. And the reality is what the standard, and quite frankly, what many of the seasoned security professionals and operation professionals who participated in this are well aware of, is that you need to understand secure development, secure engineering, and the full spectrum of the value chain, or you do not have security. Not that cyber and information security isn't important, but it is an element of a continuum, and you had best be comprehensive. The challenge is, A, being comprehensive, and B, gaining international recognition without some of the geopolitical overlay that we all see. Because, as you know, we all care about security around the world, and many of the careabouts are identical, and the manifestations and exposures are the same. So the geopolitical ramifications sometimes get in the way of the overall goal, and sometimes international standards like this, and we for sure believe that this one, will achieve an overlay that avoids the geopolitical ramifications and gets to the heart of proliferating innovation, allowing a broad spectrum of industry members to be at the table, and allowing governments, regardless of geographical location and political view, to actually drive to the same degree of integrity, transparency, and accountability.
And we should make sure everybody understands that we didn't just sit here inside the Beltway and come up with this standard. We traveled internationally. We worked with other governments. We did a lot of outreach. In fact, we have an entire sub-team that's focused on outreach that is working with other governments, UK included, making sure. And that's one of the things that really surprised me. We had done so much work, we thought there would be pushback in the creation of the international standard, and it really never materialized, which was just beautiful.
And then that description really, I go back to the initial description when we started the show, that holistic approach, right? It's not that analogy of the soccer game with the five-year-olds. That's about
cyber. I
got cyber.
Soccer players, man.
I like that. Yeah.
That was a great analogy. Guys, we are up. We've run out of time. I know we could spend another two or three shows talking about this, yeah. So I will have to have you come back and talk some more about this, about the standard, the issues, and the goals, and how the market is evolving in this area. I want to thank my guest today, Sally Long. She's the director of the Open Group Trusted Technology Forum. Edna Conway, Chief Security Officer, Global Value Chain, Cisco Systems. And Androsh Sokol, he is the Vice President, Chief Technology Officer, IBM U.S. Federal. And you've been listening to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
You've been listening to Off the Shelf with Roger Waldron of the Coalition for Government Procurement. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear the entire show or any of our weekly programs anytime at federalnewsradio.com. Off the Shelf. Only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com.